is happening, fellow fantasy GMs? I am JJ Wang. He is the bearded one, DJ Dove. And with our powers combined, we are the Fantasy Couriers.
So we are upon the draft. Hopefully you listen to this before the start of the NFL draft. I won't promote it much after Thursday night because that's when everything comes. Quick question before we jump in a little bit. Well, first, before I ask you this question, we got an apology for everybody. Sorry about last week with the draft. I was having some computer recording issues and it was getting late and we're old and we do this for free. We don't make any money. So I was either go back and do an hour worth of recording again or say, hey, here's how we panned it out. So apologies to you guys for me screwing up and pushing buttons, but thanks for being patient, still listening to us and suffering through it. But our next draft will be better. We'll do a rookie draft and probably, heck, maybe next week or the week after.
Yeah, right after the draft, or like early reaction rookie mock draft. I think that's when the mock draft fever, you know, was in full swing. People are already, some people start, you know, do drafts like the day after, you know, the draft ends. So some people before that, I mean, that's really, really tough. If you do it before, I think the wide receivers are safe, but the running backs are where they take the hit, because you just, like Charbonnet last year, he ends up going there with Kenny, what's his name?
Okay.
So, I mean, that kind of hurt his. So, I mean, running backs are, like, very, very fickle when it comes to that.
Yeah. So we'll get one. I might even do it right the next time. And I figured out what my gaffes were, is that I had it set that if it missed us, it automatically went auto draft. So we had a couple of re-records, but we'll get there. Anyway, here's the question of the day for you. Have you seen the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
I mean, I've seen it, but I'm not as hardcore as some people with it. I remember the movie, but I'm not going to be able to remember it like scene for scene, but I do remember the whole, kind of remember the whole concept of it. It was interesting. Yeah,
I was curious about, like, it's one of those movies I enjoy usually about this time, and then in August I'll put it on and have it like as a background kind of noise just to hear him go through the draft. And just the way that draft worked out is like the most perfect draft in the world. Almost sounds like what Carolina hoped happened last year.
Yeah, I mean, now granted, I mean, it does make you feel like you're kind of in the draft room, but you got to, I mean, obviously it's Hollywood, so you got to reel it in a little bit. I mean, I can't imagine that's what how the real draft rooms are like. I'm sure there's similarities. Maybe it's more of like a loosely based on a true story instead of like a, you know, true story kind of thing.
I mean, it's pretty much what happened last year in Carolina, right? Bryce Young, no matter what. And then they're like, hey, let's trade away the future. And then first pick again this year. That's the closest thing they've had.
Definitely the concept was right. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it. It was a good movie.
So check it out if you haven't had a chance. It's a pretty good movie. As you're preparing for the draft or waiting impatiently, as a reminder, the first round will be Thursday night on your favorite provider. Then Friday is the second and third round. Then Saturday is just a bunch of names.
They might be a bunch of names, but they're going to be a bunch of names that are filling the end of the roster that could actually maybe get a chance to play. You never know.
There's Puka Nacua's, or, you know, we'll see. I'm sure there's
a Puka Nacua. I mean, we didn't think there was going to be a Puka Nacua last year. So, I mean, it's always a guy.
We?
You like Puka Nacua, but you don't expect Puka Nacua to be a top five receiver.
Oh, golly.
I'm
playing with house money at this point for what I paid for him.
Absolutely.
This week, what we're going to do is we're going to go through three guys we're intrigued by and one guy that we're like worried and excited about that could fall one way or the other based upon what we think of him, that could either be like, hey, we're underrating this guy like a champ, or hey, we're overrating this guy like a champ, and we could totally be down to the dumps for it. And we decided, instead of just talking about all the high-end first-round receivers, first running back coming in the second and third round, and the top quarterbacks, that we're going to do it sort of in three tiers. We're going to start with like a lower-level player, maybe a deep-dive kind of player, then jump into like a middle level kind of prospect, a guy that people are sort of middling on, might, and then we're going to start, we'll end with some guy that people have heard of. People are like, okay, this guy we think is going to be pretty good, and then we'll close out with that question mark, and we'll discuss the questions to close them out. So low-level guys, guys maybe a little bit deeper. Man, I'm going all the way to what is it called? FCS now?
Yeah, that's
I'm
yes.
going all the way to the FCS with South Dakota State running back Isaiah Davis, 6 foot, 218 pounds, a bruiser. He is gonna ball through a line. He's gonna immediately come into the NFL if he gets in the right spot, be a goal line back. I mean, dude is a horse. He was the co-offensive player of the year in 2023. So he's a great player. He didn't have the competition of some of these other guys, but neither did Walter Payton. Now I'm not calling him Walter Payton, but this dude could come in bowling ball his way through. I mean, in his career he had 4,500 yards, 50 touchdowns, 487 receiving yards. So that's a workhorse back coming out of FCS. Probably will fall at round five, maybe round six, and then could work his way in, Pacheco light kind of thing, but bigger. You have any thoughts there on Isaiah Davis? Are you worried about where he came from, or what do you think?
I'm not, I mean, running backs, I really don't worry where they came from. As long as, their size, speed is correct, as long as they, run a decent 40, ran a decent 40, level of competition, I mean, it hurts a little bit, but at the end of the day, if you're an NFL player, you're an NFL player. I mean, he got invited to the combine, he's going to get drafted. So the NFL thinks he's an NFL player. But I think he's one of those guys that's going to be like the third or fourth guy on the depth chart, and it's going to take maybe an injury here, an injury there before he actually does get his play. But yeah, I like Isaiah Davis.
And then another thing that we never really talked about, but the bet if he were to land, think of a landing spot that would make him viable initially as soon as he comes out. I've got one right now that just popped in my head as I'm talking, and it's going to be the topic probably of the day, and that would be the Buffalo Bills. Throw him in Buffalo because he's going to get later. They'll have a later pick. Throw him in Buffalo, let James Cook do all the work, and then let him just boulder in. I mean, that sounds like a role for him coming rookie year, a la like what Derrick Henry did early on, right?
Buffalo's fine as long as Josh Allen stops taking the goal line carries and they start, preserving Josh Allen and then give the goal line carries to a running back. But then at the same time, if that happens, I mean, that also destroys the value of Josh Allen and he's no longer QB1. So, I mean, if you're looking to the future and you do. I mean, if you do think Buffalo will do that, now might be the time to kind of jump off of Josh Allen coming off, three consecutive QB1 types. I know we're not talking about that, but just, future. I mean, if those rushing touchdowns go away, I mean, he's no longer a top three QB, I wouldn't think. But I mean, Buffalo's fine. I mean, any place is fine. Running backs, as you said, Minnesota, if he goes to Minnesota, I mean, that would be awesome. Then they need running backs. Arizona, I mean, Arizona needs running. They got James Conner, but I mean, they need running backs. I mean, everybody, San Diego, the Chargers, they need running backs. I mean, it's
Yes.
all great. It's all great. I mean, put a running back in anywhere, and one injury leads to a starting running back, and then boom, there you go.
You don't think J.K. Dobbins can back up Gus Edwards in Los
I
Angeles?
mean, he can, but. I mean, last time I seen J.K. Dobbins, he was kind of limping down the field, running at full speed, and it just didn't look good. So until I
The
see
time before
that,
that, you saw him limping down the field, and the time before that, you saw him
yeah.
limping
So I mean,
for
we'll
J.K.
see. Yeah, so we'll go to my sleeper. I mean, I also got a running
Yeah,
back, and this is kind of like my James Robinson guy. I haven't had one. I didn't get one last year, but this is the kind of guy that I feel like James Robinson. Like he's kind of got that feeling that I got when I watched him back in, because I was a big fan of him. So I'm going to go with Tyrone Tracy Jr., correct? So he's 24 years old. He's like an older prospect. So I mean, he's spent like six, I think he's 6 years in college. He's 5'11", 209, good speed. At the combine, his athletic score was an 86. So that ranked him at the, has the fourth best running back there. So he's got 4.48 speed. So all the athleticism is there, but the production is where it starts to be kind of crazy, right? So he went to Iowa as a wide receiver. His redshirt freshman season, he was really good. I'm not really good, but he had a legit wide receiver season at Iowa. If you know anything about Iowa, they got good tight ends, terrible wide receivers. They have, and so after that season, His receiving production was really low, but his rushing production, if you take notes, kind of crept up a little bit, just a little bit. All right. So he's like, screw this, I'm going to transfer to Purdue. So he goes to Purdue. Purdue, not a great school either. Their offensive line was pretty crappy. They had a running back ahead of him that was a higher prospect. So he comes into Purdue. The coaches absolutely love him. He ends up becoming, one of the starting running backs. Not a great deal of carries. I think it was like 116 carries, but it was like 700 and some yards. So, we're looking at like a 6.5 yard per carry, which is fantastic as a first year running back, right? I mean, I think this guy is like legit plus with the new special teams kick returns coming into the season. He's a fantastic kick returner. So that's going to get him on a team, being that special teams player. And then I think the running back comes along afterwards. So I think it's definitely going to take an injury, maybe two injuries before he gets in. But once he gets that opportunity, I think this guy's got maybe a good 2 to 3 year career. Like I said, because he is older and he's 25. Heard of him?
Not as much as you have, but a lot of these guys are starting to pop in my mind as I see him or look him up. But he gives me a smaller Rhamondre kind of vibe. He's only an inch shorter than Rhamondre, 20 pounds lighter, so he's not as big of a. But Rhamondre didn't come in with all that much tread on the tires, so that might help him in the long run. I mean, he only has a whopping 113, about 150 total carries in his entire college career. So far be it, he was in college for the better part of over half a decade. But I mean, he rocked out with the average. He's quick, and the special teams will be what gets him on a team. But being fresh, and he's over 200,
Yeah,
like, I
so
think he's over 200 pounds, is the he's got
yeah.
the boulder through.
All right, so before I go on to the next guy, so I know watching highlights aren't like the best way to go about this, but if you watch his highlights are fun. This guy's got some spin moves. He doesn't come down on the first tackle. He's able to bounce it outside. He's got a nice jump cut. I mean, watching him play, I mean, it's real fun. Plus, you'll see like his receiving abilities actually do come out. He can actually run routes. So, I mean, that's going to help out. He's not just a dump it off kind of guy. So, yeah, Tyler Tracy, I didn't want to bring him up because I wanted to keep him as quiet as possible because I wanted to be able to sneak him in. But hey, I mean, I mean, he's going to get drafted somewhere, so why not?
Okay, now we're going a little bit up, somewhere in the middle. You've got an interesting guy here. Who are you going to go with?
Yeah, so my guy is Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. He's also a transfer. He went to Arizona State, played with Jaden Daniels. Somehow Arizona State had Jaden Daniels, Rashad White, and Ricky Pearsall all on the same team, and they still ended up sucking somehow. But they all transferred out. But yeah, Ricky Pearsall, like I said, he's a mid-round guy, so second or third. But if you watch him play, he's got legit route running skills. Very good hands. And if you want one highlight to look at, watch the catch against Charlotte. It is an all-time great catch. It compares with the Odell Beckham catch easily as far as the way he catches the ball and gets hammered afterwards. So much fun to watch. But as good as his routes and his hands are, he's got really good hands, his speed is questionable and his strength is also questionable. So I know that's not great to hear. He might get jammed at the line a little bit, might not be able to break off. But we see these guys in the NFL all the time. Adam Thielen, I'm not that Adam Thielen kind of like on the high side. But if he comes anywhere near Adam Thielen, absolute success. He could completely bust. But I think Ricky Pearsall is a solid pick to take in that maybe late second to third round. He produced there in Florida with not a great. Without a great team, he looked good on tape.
Yeah, he's a buck 89, so he's a doesn't weigh much more than I do. But then in the NFL, they always put on that NFL weight, so it's not kind of. I was trying to look, compare, like, with that height looking there. I was like, Puka was 6'2", 205, came out of nowhere. Cooper Kupp weighs a little bit more, so maybe if you put some of that weight on there, it'll help him to be that sort of mid-range kind of guy there with
But I mean, also, I don't think the weight's really an issue as much as it used to be. I mean, we look at Devonta Smith, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb. All these guys came in, I believe, under 200. So I'm not really too worried about receiver weight as much as I am running back weight. But yeah, it
Well,
does. I mean,
receiver, you're looking, if you're going to be lighter, you got to be fast as the wind too.
that is
So
true. That is
Lamar
true.
was. That's not, he's not slow, so he's not, but he's not like, that's still
He's
a
not a burner.
decent.
Yeah.
So yeah, my mid-level, I don't know if he qualified as a mid-level guy, I just know nobody likes him. So I mean, he's gonna be a second round pick.
I don't like him. I think he's
I don't
awful,
like him.
actually.
He's gonna be a second round pick, but more it's looking to like the landing places of where he could end up and where. So just thinking about at this point, I'm thinking about where guys could end up, and I'm just like, a quarterback in the second round, landing maybe in like Denver, maybe Minnesota's patient. And I know your thoughts on Bo Nix are that you hate Bo Nix.
Not a fan.
Not a fan at all, but I can't overlook 4,500 yards and 45 touchdowns in his last year, or almost 35 and 29 the year before. So the dude can sling the rock. Give him a little Sean McVay. So I mean, this is all predicated. Like my last two picks are predicated on locations. Give him a little Sean McVay, and then build around him with Sean McVay's genius. Sean McVay. How about Sean Payton? Sean Payton's genius coaching. And I could see Bo Nix surprising people. Like, there's going to be one. I just have this feeling one of these quarterbacks, it's like Nix, Rattler, one of those two knuckleheads is going to, just wait and see, is going to be something in the pros. Like, nobody thought Will Levis would have played last year. They were done with him after the banana and mayonnaise crap. And Will Levis is going to start 17 games this year.
So,
Maybe, but I did
yes,
yours.
I'll bring Spencer Rattler up on my next guy. They kind of go hand in hand, so I'll bring him up a little, here in a second. But Bo Nix, okay, Bo Nix, sure. Bo Nix has the most starts ever in college football history. Sure, so great. He's got a lot of experience. You know, 5 years, 6 years, 5 year starter, 3 years at Auburn. He was a starter, but he was also dreadful. Now, the Auburn teams were great, played in the SEC. So the level of comp when he played level of competition that was good in the SEC, terrible, not good. So he transfers to the one team that could probably make any quarterback look good
Oh, yeah.
by the numbers. So when you say slinging the rock, sure, he might throw it a lot if you consider throwing it to the running back every other play. Sure, he can sling the rock. His arm is okay, but if you watch the Oregon offense, everything is predicated before the snap. He knows where he's going before the snap even happens. So that kind of you don't know how he can read the field because he hasn't had to do that. Drops back, okay, immediately throwing it to this guy. So watching him play in the Oregon offense is not fun. He might throw for a lot of yards, but watching it play. Oh, it's not fun. Yeah, 76% percentage completion. Sure, it sounds great when it's over like three quarters of your passes are 10 yards and under. So I hope he can produce high passes.
I saw someone do that last year in Miami and put up decent numbers for fantasy and for the league. And he
But I mean,
did.
like you said, I mean, if he can go to Sean Payton and he's able, and the NFL doesn't surprise me. If he turns out to be good, I'll be surprised. Absolutely. But I know it's the NFL and these kind of things do happen. But I am completely out on Bo Nix. I don't think I would draft him. I'd rather have, actually, I don't want any of those second tier quarterbacks. I think they all got major problems. But Bo Nix is probably my least favorite person in the draft.
After last year's quarterbacks, if there's a quarterback that gets a spot and I have a spot on my roster, I would throw someone down there because guys, I mean, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant is now a top seven quarterback, top 10 quarterback in the league. So if you have the
I understand.
space, I would put him there in a near
Like I'm
hit.
saying, if he pops off, he pops off. I'm wrong, but some people you don't like, and I'm sorry. I just don't like Bo Nix. I think he's a and better term bum. But like I said, stranger things have happened in the NFL. So we'll go ahead and go to my next guy. My next guy goes to South Carolina. His name Xavier Leggett. I'm 23 years old, so he's also a little older. 6'1". So he's got good size, 221, weighs 221, so he's bulky. You know, not as tall, you know, 6'3", 6'4", but he kind of looks like Debo a little bit, where he's kind of like real thick. So he ran a 4.39, got a 40-inch vert, so he's a very good athlete. He said his speed and his run after the catch when he plants and hits, he takes off. This guy is a speed demon, right? So unfortunately, I mean, the bad part about it, he didn't really break out to his fifth year. As I said, 71 catches with, 1,255 yards and 7 touchdowns. And somehow he broke out with Spencer Rattler as his quarterback.
He's the next
Don't
great
get
thing in
it.
the pros.
Not at all. So if you watch Spencer Rattler throw, his deep ball is pretty much non-existent. I mean, he can move around the pocket and he's okay throwing on the run. Again, he's going to get drafted. Spencer Rattler will get drafted. And will he pop off? I mean, it'll surprise me if he would, but he could. But look at, I mean, he'll go deep, and Spencer Rattler just can't give him a good enough pass if he's down there. But once, if he can catch the pass, I mean, he is off, he's off to the running, right? So he's still young at the wide receiver position. He didn't transition to wide receiver until he came into college. He can go up and catch a ball. I mean, good contested catch. But his route running is probably his biggest weakness. He's not a great route runner. He relies a lot more on his speed. But as we've seen in the past, I mean, those kind of players can hit. Bad part about it, South Carolina wide receivers in the past haven't been great. They've kind of fizzled out in the NFL. But if you look at fantasy from that perspective, you might miss out on a lot of guys. But I like the way Leggett plays. I mean, watching him, I mean, this guy's a burner. I mean, you can like he was a burner at the combine, but when you watch him on the field, you can tell he's a burner on the field as well. Sometimes you don't look fast on the field, but you run fast at the combine. This guy looks fast, everywhere.
Yeah, it's those late pop off guys are always red flags because they say most guys who are going to be successful will pop off what their second year, I believe it is. I think 19 is the age
Absolutely.
when guys usually most NFL success guys. So, I mean, then again, stranger things have happened. You never know with the speed guy in the NFL and especially at receiver now because receivers you can run four deep and that fourth receiver on certain teams could have some like super flex value if you're running a ton of flexes and then a guy goes down because you can't touch a receiver. I mean, we're looking at a different world and a lot of leagues are going to that four receiver set. So I think it's worth a shot. Am I high on him? Not necessarily. The boom or bust guys are guys I'm not super jump like could he be a Deshaun Jackson like players? That sounds like where you're sort of aiming him
Yeah,
sort of
something like
thing.
Deshaun Jackson. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, something like that. I don't know if
Could
he's as fast as Deshaun, maybe. But yeah, I mean, on the Deshaun Jackson mold, kind of. Yeah, maybe a little bigger. I think he's a little bigger. Definitely bigger.
But still the speed guy, like he's gonna be that guy that they say go that way really fast and catch the ball. And that's going to be his job. So it's, I know what Tweeter did in Varsity Blues. So I'm going to tell you my guy is a guy that I know you've talked about and I've started to rise on. I really wanted to talk about good old Xavier Worthy, who's fast as the wind. But I'm going to go with A.D. Mitchell, who you've got the top three. And then after that, there's a gaggle of people that everybody's interested in for one reason or another. You got the Thomas who's super duper fast and big. Like that just sounds, I don't know why. He, in my opinion, might be the guy that people miss out on more because big and fast, that's just amazing. Like I'm excited for him. I know I don't have any draft capital to ever get that dude. So it'll be a trade in the future if he falls down the right way. But A.D. Mitchell is starting to be curious to me, mainly because of where he's going to fall. He's going to fall late in the first round, unless somebody reaches early in the first round. And that means Buffalo. That means, Kansas City. One of those teams that are striving for that next receiver. And right there, that means one of two. That could be great. You give him to Josh Allen. Josh Allen made Gabriel Davis look good. Or catch no passes, So, but he made Stephon Diggs come from pretty good in Minnesota. He was up and he was Tyler Lockett, right? And then all of a sudden he's stud. Is that Josh Allen? Is that change of scenery? We'll find out this year when Stephon Diggs is down in Houston. But they need a receiver. They're not going to let Curtis Samuel be their one or Shakir. So this guy could walk in day one if that's where he lands. And bam, A.D. Mitchell gets drafted by Buffalo. He is going to be the number two receiver off the board. Guaranteed. Some people might even reach for him over Harrison. I don't think they will, but I bet you he goes number two overall with Josh Allen, the reach of that.
So it's funny that you mentioned Gabe Davis, because listening to a lot of people talk, that's who most people compare A.D. Mitchell to, is Gabe Davis. I don't think there's any way and no chance, like Vince McMahon used to say, no chance in hell. But I don't, there, he goes number two. Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze, they're all going to go before. They're all top 10 picks.
But
So
I mean number two in fantasy drafts, not in the NFL, in fantasy.
I don't think, not even a fan. It's still gonna be those guys. No matter where any of
Even if
those
the
guys,
Giants draft them? The
yeah,
Giants or Patriots?
I don't think it really matters.
Wow.
Or the way all those guys are playing, or the way they've been touted, I think they all. Now he might be he might be able to go be the fourth guy, right? But he also might be able to be like the 12th guy. That's the difference with A.D. Mitchell when I hear people talk. In my opinion, he's my favorite player. When I watched this film, I was like, wow, this guy is awesome. But you know who else I liked that was exactly like that? Gabe Davis. I love Gabe Davis. Wow, this guy is awesome. And that's ultimately who he ends up being compared to. Kind of like Xavier Leggett. He played at Georgia, didn't do much, came to Texas. That was his best season, but at Texas, his best season was still what, mid 60 catches with 700 and some yards. So that's not a great, line as far as stats go. But 4.39 at the combine, he looks like he's really fast on the field. So that works. I love this guy. Some people do not like this guy. I know if I've got, the eighth or ninth pick, I'm probably going to A.D. Mitchell because that's. I love A.D. Mitchell because you got your top seven, your four quarterbacks, your three receivers, and Brock Bowers. I think that's how most of the top of the draft is going to go.
Superflex.
And then after the, yeah, with Superflex. And then after that, I think the receiver is just who you like. Maybe it's Brian Thomas. Maybe it's A.D. Mitchell. Maybe it's Troy Franklin. Maybe it's Xavier Worthy, which I would
Ladd
not.
McConkey.
And maybe it's Ladd. Maybe you like Ladd McConkey. I
I just
mean,
like
it's possible.
McConkey.
I mean, it's going to be one of those guys. It's just who do you like better? I like A.D. Mitchell. Some people do not. So I feel like if you like Gabe Davis, you're going to like A.D. Mitchell, but that'll turn a lot of people off.
So, what JJ Wang did is he segued us into the last part. A guy we could be wrong on, one way or the other, that he could be greater than we think they are. He could be totally worse than we think they are. And he's looking at AD Mitchell as his guy. What, say AD Mitchell doesn't go to Josh Allen. Is his value, and then he slips out of the first round for some reason. Carolina Panthers take him 2-1.
I think I would still take Mitchell, because I like to say, I mean, honestly, at that, I probably would take Brian Thomas before A.D. Mitchell, because I'm pretty sure Brian Thomas is a first round wide receiver. He's going in the first round. So I mean, if I'm not 100% satisfied with his landing spot, I will definitely fall off of him and maybe switch to a Brian Thomas, and then say, like the 2-1 pick I might use for Xavier, Adonai Mitchell. So I mean, it is kind of landing spot dependent, but I will definitely have me some shares of A.D. Mitchell. But like I said, I've already mentioned it. Like he's just boomer bust. I mean, I think that's going to be his main issue: boom or bust.
I think it's landing spot. And then what's going to happen is he's going to not go to Buffalo. He'll go to Carolina and end up being like the greatest thing since string cheese and while ignoring until he just
I will never ignore him. I still don't ignore Gabe Davis. I still love Gabe Davis. Once you're in my
keep
heart,
throwing back Trevor.
I don't care. Oh, yeah, so that might help Gabe Davis. But once you're in my heart, it takes a lot for me to take you out. And Gabe Davis holds a special place, man.
Doesn't take much for me. I was going back. I was thinking about what the reason I'm thinking. I could see him leapfrog because all I think of is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was drafted before Jonathan Taylor. Consensus in rookie drafts.
Yeah, but also, yeah, it's true. But also, Hilaire coming into the draft was a higher prospect than A.D. Mitchell. I mean, Hilaire was still touted to go pretty high before he got
But
drafted.
Taylor is like supposed to be the great. He's supposed to be amazing
Oh,
when
yeah,
he
absolutely. I agree. I mean, Kansas City botched that one. They absolutely did.
My guy. that I could be right, or I could be really, really wrong, or really, really right on. I could go on about Caleb Williams for hours, but I figured I've talked about him ad nauseum that everybody knows that he won't be on any of my teams, and I'm willing to be wrong. And the only reason I would ever take him is if someone said, "Hey, here's the 1.1 in a super flex. You've got to take him." It's almost kind of silly not to, unless you have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Trevor Lawrence as your quarterbacks, and then you trade down and get Harrison or whatever. But it's Drake May. Drake May out of North Carolina. I mean, the more and more I see, the more and more it sounds like he's going to New England, unless they trade out of that pick. Because it's, I think Washington's going to end up going, is going to end up taking Daniels, and then he's going to go to New England, which that team is dreadful. So he's never going to get a fair shape, even if he is like, I don't. He just has that stink of North Carolina quarterback. He's coming into a situation that could be total garbage. He last year actually was worse than the year before, which sounds like some other North Carolina quarterback. So to go from 4,300 yards to 3,600 yards and drop 14 touchdowns in a year is not a good way to come into the league. He's got that, luckily he threw less interceptions than Sam Darnold did in college. I was not big on Sam Darnold because he had almost a 50-50, but he just is coming in too high. Mitchell Trubisky, Mitchell, who jumped up all of a sudden out of nowhere. And I don't see a lot. This quarterback class, to me, I'm not feeling the success. I think the receivers are going to be the money this year, and the quarterbacks, people are going to pay for figuratively and literally by the end of the year.
But I mean, what's different, right? I mean, maybe I just feel like people, when you feel the way you do, maybe it's just coming off of the way the 2021 draft turned out, with all these quarterbacks going really high and none of them really panning out. It kind of scares you. But I mean, you have every right to feel that way. But it could also be like the Joe Burrow to Justin Herbert, where all three of them were successful. I don't think it's going to be that way, but I don't think it's going to be as bad. I mean, I guess I'm going to just land in the middle. I mean, there's probably only one of these guys, possibly two, is going to turn out to be, all that. I mean, maybe none of them do. Maybe a couple of them do. But I mean, I think things are changing in New England. It's not the same team, so you really can't base it. Yeah, there's not a lot of weapons they have, but it's more of a build. So it might not be that first year. It might take more, that second or third to where they can fill. The we with weapons around him. So it's not completely the same yet. It's gonna stink that first year if he does land there. But I mean, I like Drake May. I think he's better than Sam Howell, and Sam Howell was pretty effective. I mean, it kind of fell off in the end, but for fantasy, I mean, he still kind of helped out. I think the offense will open up a little more in New England, so it might not be as boring as, to watch, but like I said, the weapons aren't there. Yeah, I mean, it could either way. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, quarterbacks are hard. I mean, it's a 50-50 shot. I mean,
Yeah.
no one knows for sure.
I mean, I think the reason I could be wrong on Caleb Williams, and I could have used him, is he's stepping into not a terrible situation. He's going to get Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, and DJ Moore. I mean, good grief. And who's the and they signed the running back is who did they get?
They got Swift.
Swift. That's just, I mean, his skill position players, I mean, the only reason he fails is the reason I think he might fail is because he's going to get in his own way. So, Williams, Daniels, May, which one of those is most likely to flop? Let's say they go one, two, three.
I'm going Jane Daniels.
Which one of those is least likely to flop? Is it Williams for you or May?
I think it's probably Caleb, man. Caleb Williams, because like I said, I think Caleb, I mean, yeah, Caleb Williams is definitely the least likely, but if he flops, I mean, it wouldn't really surprise me. But I think Drake May is more of a 50-50 shot. I think Jane Daniels is probably more of like a 65-35 type. So I mean, probably 35% success, 65% fail. I'm just not a fan of how he plays. You compare him to Joe Burrow, but I don't. He's not the passer of Joe Burrow. Like I said, if we're playing fantasy, it really doesn't matter because if he runs the ball, he runs the ball. Justin Fields has been absolutely terrible passer, but he's been productive because he can run. So we'll see how that turns out.
Who will a team reach for first, Penix or McCarthy?
Oh, definitely McCarthy. McCarthy's going to. I think McCarthy will definitely It's gonna be the fourth quarterback taken. It just depends on how high somebody wants to take him.
Does that put Penix in Denver?
I
Possibly?
mean,
McCarthy in New York?
possibly. I think if Denver does reach for a quarterback, I think they will go Bo Nix probably if they do decide to go quarterback that early. I think Bo Nix. I don't know. I would never take Bo Nix that high. Yeah, I just threw up in my mouth, but yeah, I mean, Bo Nix, Michael Penix is going to be the next quarterback. So it just depends, I guess, what you like. I think they're both going to be failures. Hate to say it, but.
Any hot takes you think at, before you get into your wisdom for the draft? Any guy you think that totally is anybody going to Will Levis this year? Do you think any of those quarterbacks, like, I mean, really, you're looking at Penix up to McCarthy. Could Penix or McCarthy Will Levis to the second round, or do you think they're all going to go?
McCarthy's going to go. I think McCarthy goes top 10.
So do you think Penix and Will Levis, or do you think he's going to make it?
I think Penix is probably going to be a high second round pick. I think ultimately Bo Nix is going to be a second round pick as well.
Yeah, if I got Bo as like a second, I could see Penix someone trading in just to get that fifth year option. Like that's what you're looking for with that one, that fifth year option on the quarterbacks. If you got him in with that cheap versus the gajillion dollar contract that's coming up for a lot of these guys, you know. So okay, JJ Wang, it's draft time after this. Give us some wisdom, brother.
Watch as much highlights as possible. I mean, fall in love. I mean, I guess I'll say watching highlights can like be bad, but like watching these guys play, I mean, it's fun. Like you'll fall in love with these guys real quick, and like you always want to draft somebody you like instead of just some random guy you have no idea who it is, right? Just sit down for 5 minutes, watch a couple highlights, and enjoy the speed of these guys or the athleticism because they're all going to be in the NFL, and you're going to need to know who they are. So as always, trust yourself and trust the process.